Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all the brothers and sisters who congregate in the Church of God Ministry of Jesus Christ International. A greeting with all my love to all people that are newcomers and first-time guests who come to this place. God has showers of blessings for you because you've prepared your heart to be attentive to today's sermon, to today's reflection of God's word. And let's remember everything that God did over 2,000 years ago, and that even to this day, his word remains valid and is living in our hearts because the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, has been the one in charge of bringing to life these scriptures to this day, and we don't know for how long he will do so. And he brings them to life in our hearts, in our lives, and he manifests himself. So that God who we find here in the Bible and those stories and narrations of everything God did in antiquity, all of that, God today repeats that with us. He revives it with us so that we may know and feel what it is to have a living God, a God of power, a God who exists. Because how sad it is that today, science and technology and philosophies and society, they prepare themselves for a different future. They prepare themselves to explore other planets. And how sad it is that all of them deny the existence of God. But how beautiful it is when we, who have had this opportunity to know this wonderful God in spirit, because God is spirit, and that is how he manifests himself, and we feel him in our lives, in our heart, in our conscience, in our being, we feel the presence of that living God, and we enjoy it. And this is why we believe God exists. So we invite you, we invite everyone, all those people of the world who perhaps may listen to the sermon by mistake, we invite you. We invite you to seek the Bible and read it, and to tell God, you who don't believe, say, God, I don't believe in you, but I yearn for you to manifest yourself in my life. I want you to do something in me so that I believe that you exist. Because for me, it is impossible. For me, this is crazy to believe you exist, to believe a God who is invisible and in spirit exists and manifests himself and we can't see or feel. This is crazy. This is man's insanity. But that should be your prayer if you don't believe in God. And you will see how God, in his mercy, in his love, he will show you his existence. He will manifest himself to you, and then you will change your mind. Blessed be our God. This is what God does in our lives. This is everything he has done in ours. And this is why we believe in God. And you may be seated, my dear brothers and sisters, and you as well. You may each have a seat and be attentive to today's sermon. And like I said, God likes when we praise him. The praises are for our God, and they consist of reading the Bible, reflecting on it, singing to God songs, psalms, and also songs that many people inspired, composed for our God. And these are the songs that we also sing. There are songs that are back from the 18th century where people who had the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, were inspired. And according to the experiences that they had in their lives with the Lord, they composed wonderful songs. And those songs are the ones we sing today, and we sing to the Lord. And how beautiful it would be for us to also reflect on every word and the message that these songs have. It would be very beautiful, for when we sing to the Lord, we will know what we are saying to God. And that is praise for God. He likes when we sing to Him. The Lord likes it when we play a musical instrument for Him, but He also demands that those that play musical instruments for God, that they be people who are holy and upright, people who truly merit and deserve to play and interpret a musical instrument for God. And it's not just any ordinary person who knows about music and who maybe has concerts out there. No, this is not about them. That's not who God is pleased to receive praises from. But it's from men and women who, aside from having musical talent, they have a pure heart for God. That is what God wants. This is what God demands from us. This is why we simply have music tracks, because it is very difficult to have 1,500 musicians to then try and divide a singer in every church. It's difficult because it is all an art, a talent. And since we are more concerned with praising and glorifying our God with the little that we have, with the little or the very much God gives us, so we use musical tracks and we sing to the Lord hymns. Like I said to you before, they were written back in the 18th century. And God is pleased by that. The Lord is pleased when we sing to Him. And this is why I've told people, I've said to them, when you're at home, your place of dwelling, that you set aside time and sing to the Lord. Sing a chorus, sing a hymn, read a paragraph from the Bible. And that is how you praise God, and God is pleased by that. And when we come here and we congregate as a church, well, we do the same. We praise God, we honor Him by reading the Bible, by singing choruses and hymns. And we do it with all of our heart. And that is what God sees. And with all of our heart, we praise Him, and God is pleased by that. So the church is very big. The church has grown as God spoke over 50 years ago, that it would grow throughout all the world. And it is impossible for us to have a musical band in every church. This is outside of our human power. But we do teach everyone that with their own voices, they can sing to God. And if anyone who has the spiritual gifts and serves God, and they live an upright life, and they know how to play musical instruments, will sing and praise God with their instruments as well, aside from their voice, which is the natural instrument God has given us. All right, brothers and sisters, this is some advice for you so that you keep this in mind. And you don't feel bad. Do not think that to sing to God, you need to be professionals, but it is about your heart and sincerity, and you must ask God to help us so that each day that passes, we are able to live an upright life before Him. That is what we ask our God. May God bless you all greatly. And today, brothers and sisters, I told you in the previous sermon that we were going to begin to read Acts of the Apostles, which is the story of the early church, the story of everything the apostles lived when the beginning of the preaching began and the manifestation of the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ began. So here in Acts of the Apostles, we find some experiences and testimonies and the way that the apostles lived, although we don't find everything, because truly, if all of the books had been published, like the apostles said, well, then there would be not enough books in the world of everything that happened and all of God's manifestation, miracles, signs that God carried out with his disciples and his followers. But we only have a little bit written for our own information, and so that we also are guided through this in the way that we should conduct ourselves in the church of God, in the Lord's ways. And we give the Lord thanks for that. And so let us open Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. And in the previous scripture, which was chapter 1, where the apostle Luke, who was the physician, he was writing to a very important person back in that time named Theophilus. He wrote everything that he had heard spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth preaching the gospel, specifically in Jerusalem. And so the narration continues. Although sometimes we forget that this is a narration that we are reviewing, it is rather a testimony of God's manifestation. So chapter 2 says here in verse number 1. So while the apostles, and this is not in the verse, but while the apostles and men and women, they were gathered together in an upper room, and there were 120 people gathered. They were praying. They were waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because the Lord Jesus Christ had told them before he ascended into heaven, he told them, do not leave Jerusalem. Remain here until the power from on high has come down and you are endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what they did. And so they were congregating there in that upper room to worship and praise until that great day of that wonderful promise arrived, when the Holy Spirit descended to that group. And how beautiful. Now we can just imagine how this happened, these wonderful things God carried out. And so it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, when it says here that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, brothers and sisters, I can imagine how this happened. Because I remember, brothers and sisters, and I share this as a testimony, that in the beginning, when God gave me the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, at the beginning, I did not know that we had to lay hands on people. I did not know how I needed to impart the gift of prophecy God had given me. So I would simply prophesy out loud. And I would give each person prophecy in front of everyone. Everyone listened to each other's prophecy. So I thought that is how it needed to be done. But there came a night where we were worshiping, and the Holy Spirit began to teach me how I needed to go lay on hands and give prophecy to a person, but discreetly, meaning that person alone without anyone listening. Because these could be very private things and everyone else could hear. So the Holy Spirit pushed me. I felt like a wind. I felt like a wind, like it says here, a rushing mighty wind. And I felt a mighty wind like a blower. I'm not sure if there are blowers worldwide, Brother Camillo. I'm not sure. Is there anyone who can maybe help me? Is it that or a bellow? So a blower or a bellow, because I want to be understood, because this is going out to many countries and hopefully they understand or can look in the dictionary. So I felt this strong, mighty wind behind me that pushed me. And it pushed me toward a person. And when I got to that person, I would lay on hands. Because I thought, well, what am I going to do? So I would lay on hands and prophecy would come. In that time, I was naive. I didn't know all of this about God. All of this was new, all of these experiences. So I would give prophecy, and once I was done, I would step away and I would continue worshiping God. And suddenly, once again, that strong, mighty wind came up behind me and pushed me, would make me walk towards someone else. And that is how it would continuously happen with the 12 people who were there that night. So I understood. I learned that I needed to lay on hands and give prophecy only to the person who needed it, not everyone else listening. And that's what I learned. So I did stray from the scripture here because I remembered this experience and I wanted you to know that this is true. This exists. That wind, that mighty wind exists that can push a person or can even cause them to fly away. Like it happened here in some of these stories that the Holy Spirit would move a disciple from one place to another. He took him in a whirlwind or tornado, took him to another place, and he ended up somewhere else. That is real. People read that and think, this is a lie, this is crazy. But I am a witness. I've lived this experience of that mighty wind pushing me to a different place. Glory to my God. And so, this is true, and I believe it. It says, a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Meaning, all of them had visions, and they saw tongues of fire. They were tongues as of fire. Now, we can just imagine those tongues of fire. And it says, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And as evidence of that, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this whole passage is true and real because we, not everyone, but the majority of us, we have lived these experiences. The brothers and sisters here with me, some of you, I'm sure, have lived this experience that while you are praying and worshiping God, you began to speak other tongues, a language that is not your natural language, not your own, and you felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? And they're saying amen, the brothers and sisters here, because they've lived this. I have lived it. I've experienced it. And so it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So other languages that were unknown. It is a tongue or a language that you cannot interpret. In that time, since it was the first time the Holy Spirit was manifesting himself, in that city there were many people from other countries and who spoke other dialects and languages. They spoke many other languages, so it says that they began to understand the message that the Holy Spirit was giving to each of them. Because in verse number 6, in verse 4, when they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, it says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And as they came from many other nations, they had different dialects. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. So there was a great sound, and it seems as though there was an earthquake. It seems as though that's what happened in that place. And this is why all the people were shocked. They were afraid. They were worried. They were greatly concerned that they came to look at what was going on. And they all came together there. And it says, and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Meaning, since they're Galileans, they speak one language. So why do we hear them speak in our own language? It says, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And there were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. So all of these different people were gathered together, congregated, and in verse 11, Cretans and Arabs. And it says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, in our own language, the wonderful works of God. Blessed is the Lord. God lives. Glory to our God. And it continues and says, and they were all amazed. They were amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others, those who are unbelievers and foolish, rebellious, hard of heart, it says, others mocking said, they are drunk. They are full of new wine. They are inebriated. So in other countries, people most of the time call them drunks. And that's the vulgar, common way to say it. And so, nevertheless, although, and these unbelievers were mocking them, yet they were realizing that something different was happening. Something strange was occurring. Strange things were happening that day. All were perplexed, amazed. The Holy Spirit spoke to each of them a message. And those messages perhaps were God's promises, maybe admonishment, a wake-up call, and a call to also believe in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, in him who they crucified and resurrected, and some who said it was a lie, he did not resurrect, but the Holy Spirit there spoke by the mouth of all of those 120 that were praying and waiting for that power from on high, waiting on the Lord's promise. And so that is how God begins to manifest himself from the beginning, when he began the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the preaching of the true gospel of Jesus Christ began. Because the true gospel of Jesus Christ is that where the Holy Spirit manifests himself in the life of each person. It is not just in the life of the pastor, because some teach that it is only the pastor that is on the pulpit. He is the only one who has the Holy Spirit, the only one that can prophesy. But the prophecy is just to speak to a person and say, yes, things will go well for you. That's what they prophesy. But the believers do not have the right to receive that. And that is not the true gospel. The true gospel is that the person who is on the pulpit and the rest of the believers have to receive the Holy Spirit and speak other tongues. They need to have the spiritual gifts. All need to work and serve the Lord. Everyone. That is the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If you congregate in a place and this manifestation is not present, well then no, that is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not preaching it, nor are they practicing it as it should be. So seek God. Seek the true path of our Lord, and he will show himself to you, and he will bring you to the true place. Because God, he sees people's sincerity. He sees every heart and their sincerity. God sees it all. And this is why God guides you, teaches you, and tells you, come to this place. Go there, for there is where I manifest myself. Glory to my Lord. That is what God has done with all of us. That is what God has done in over 60 countries. In the congregation, it is the Holy Spirit who brings them all. Thanks be to our God. Okay, and we continue now in the scripture where it says that others were mocking, and they would say that they are full of new wine, and in verse 14. Now, you can go ahead and read verse 14, everyone. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. So the apostle clarified and said, No. It says, These are not drunk. He says in verse 15, For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. The third hour of the day is about 9 in the morning. And it says, But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit. So the apostle Peter in this moment, he cited the prophet Joel. When he says, Joel, he says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, meaning for the future. And the future was the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in his manifestation. That was the future that the prophets of antiquity spoke about. So Joel says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, meaning when Jesus Christ manifests himself, the Messiah, the King, who was sent by God, when he manifests himself, look at what will happen. Then I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons. And when it says that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, the flesh here, it means human beings. So on all human beings, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So you see, it doesn't say that only the preacher on the pulpit will prophesy. No, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, all. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So aside from having the gift of prophecy, they were going to have visions and they were going to have dreams. All of this is fulfilled and it comes to pass today in our lives. All of this, I testify, that has been fulfilled in our lives now for almost 60 years. Because I arrived being a person who had never read the Bible. And I did not know that so many religions existed. I had been spoken of a traditional church by my family, but I was not so devout about being in that place. I believed in God, but I felt him far away from me, very far away. I would look to the heavens, and I thought that far beyond the heavens is where God was. But when I came to the knowledge of this Bible, and when God spoke to me for the first time, that for me was being born again. To be born again. For me, it was something wonderful. And I fell in love with God. And from that moment, time has flown by, and it seems like it was just yesterday. All these years have passed, and it feels like it was just yesterday, but I have seen God's hand and his manifestation, his wonders, his miracles. I have seen so many things that each day I fall more in love with the Lord. And I say, Lord, I need more life because I am just starting. I tell the Lord, I am just starting. And yet now I'm on the decline of life and I'm just starting off in your ways. And so what do you think about that? That is how great that love for God is. Because for God, time does not exist. For the Holy Spirit, time flies by and we don't feel it because God is there with us. His manifestation, how beautiful is the manifestation of our God. How beautiful are the testimonies, and I have been a witness of visions, dreams, of prophecy promises from God fulfilled. How could I ever doubt God? No, you cannot doubt. And here, this was that promise for the future. Glory be to our God, for we are living that future. And here we are, enjoying prophecy, visions, dreams. And in verse 18, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. When he says on my men servants and on my maid servants, this was in reference to all those people who started off with him, the apostles, all of the 120 who were gathered and received that blessing. And those who criticize, doubt, and don't believe, they said that they were drunk. But they, in that moment, they were the servants of the Lord because they were the first. And it says, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And this is why Peter said, they're not drunk. It is the Holy Spirit. It is God's power in each person's life. Verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above. Of course, how can he not show those wonders in heaven? All of the benefits, all of the blessings, everything we receive, all the good that we receive from God comes from where? It comes from heaven. It comes from God. It comes from above, from on high. It all comes from on high. So all the wonders, they come from above. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. The signs in the earth beneath, well, it starts off with the fact that there was an earthquake when the Holy Spirit descended. Then they begin to speak in tongues. Then they begin to prophesy. Then the miracles begin. Those are the signs in the earth. Those were the signs. And so when we see that God works miracles and heals people, delivers them, protects them from danger, helps them with their work, with all the necessary things people need in life, and we see God's hand helping them, those are the signs in the earth. Those are signs God gives so that we believe, so that we don't doubt, and we continue trusting in him even more. Glorious is the Lord. Okay, and so it says those wonders in heaven, the manifestation, and then those signs on earth, what we receive here from God's hand. And it says blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Well, that was that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When he manifested himself, well, the earth shook. And not just blood and fire, but we have also seen, and the first disciples, they suffered persecution. They were sacrificed. So we see a lot of things there, a lot of symbolic things and literal things, things that can be interpreted literally, but there are a lot of things that are interpreted with symbology and the way that God manifests himself in human beings. And it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And that was in reference to the coming of the Lord in the clouds when he comes to gather his church, to take his perfect holy church that he himself is in charge of perfecting it, of sanctifying it. And how? Well, with the spiritual gifts, with the gift of prophecy, with the gift of visions, dreams, discernment, with all of the spiritual gifts God gives. With that, the church must be perfected because the church is made up of people, of the believers, of the people that need to change and live a holy life, but who helps them? The Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts help them to perfect themselves. And so the word of God is fulfilled when he says he comes to gather his perfect church without spot or wrinkle. Now, as human beings, we cannot perfect ourselves or change, but the Holy Spirit with his spiritual gifts does change us and helps us. He will perfect us, and he teaches us and corrects us. So it says that before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord, and it's been over 2,000 years now, we're still waiting on the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And in verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, men or women, they shall be saved. But what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember that in that time, they did not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ because they all said he was an imposter, a liar. And the Jews themselves, the people of Israel, did not believe him because they said, God is spirit and God cannot be seen. Therefore, how was it possible that Jesus Christ said he was the Son of God and that in some cases he revealed himself to be God? So this is why they were upset, and this is why they led him to the cross of Calvary. But the Lord carried out many manifestations, signs, wonders, and he showed to them with the doctrine that he was sent by God, that God was going to take flesh and he would become a human being for some time to live among men, to preach to them, to teach them, and to tell them that it was possible to keep the Lord's commandments as a human being. Because human beings used to say it is difficult to keep, and we cannot compare ourselves to God because he is capable, he has that power, and we human beings, we cannot change because we do not have that power. But the Lord said, I will become a human being for some time, and I will show these people, back in that time, the Israelites, the Jews, he said, I'm going to show them that I can live like a human being, and I will suffer, and I will withstand everything, and I will change and truly fulfill the entire law, and I will show them that this is possible. That is what our God did. This is why our God took flesh, and that flesh was called Jesus of Nazareth, and it was just for some time, 33 years. So that is how God manifested himself. This is why after this, once the Lord ascends into the heavens, he tells the apostles, now preach this gospel, preach to people and tell people that now the way that leads to eternal life, it only has one door. There's only one way for eternal life. And teach people, teach everyone, go throughout all the world and preach this gospel and tell them that in order to attain eternal life, to have salvation, there is only one way, one door, and it is called Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. This is why in verse number 21, once again, it says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, shall, speaking of the future. Or we can change this to say, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will likely attain salvation. Why? Because if they continue steadfast in this path until the day they die, they will attain eternal life. But if you call upon the Lord and only live in the gospel for a certain time, and then you regress, you turn back, you forget about God, well, then you will not be saved. But if you are faithful, and you call upon the Lord, which is to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is God himself, and that he was sent by God. He is the only way that leads to eternal life. He is the only door to enter eternal life. And you are faithful till death. This person shall be saved because they were faithful till death. They earn their salvation. And this is what verse 21 is saying, which has been misinterpreted by many religions. Many religions misinterpret this incorrectly because they say, well, it says whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord, Lord, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, yes, I believe in God. Yes, yes, I'm a Christian. I believe in God. That, yes, is saying you believe, but you're not someone who puts things to practice. To call on the name of the Lord is not just to believe and say, yes, I believe in God, but it is putting the commandments of the Lord to practice. It is practicing everything God teaches us, all of his commandments, and to live that upright life he wants us to live. And this is what we call being complete. Calling on the Lord is living in him until our death. That's it. And so it says, shall be saved, because there are many who call on the Lord. And in James, the apostle James said to people, yes, yes, everyone says they believe. The demons also say the same. The demons believe, but are they saved? Are they good? Are they upright? No, they are evil. The demons, they do wickedly and are evil, but they believe in God. Of course they have to believe in God. He is the chief. He is the one in charge and in command. They have to submit and humble themselves, but they are rebellious. And everything that they do is against God's will. And so the apostle gave that example. He said this happens to a lot of people. They say, I believe, but they don't practice what God is preaching. They do wickedly. And so I hope verse number 21 is clear, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was preached by Peter. And in verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Now, why did he say that by lawless hands they crucified the Lord? Well, it was the Roman soldiers. They had nothing to do with the people of the Lord. And in verse 24, whom God raised up, meaning our Lord Jesus Christ, God raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It says that death was not capable of holding him down, and this is why he resurrected on the third day. For David says concerning him in verse 25. So this cites a psalm. Psalm 16, from verse 8 to 11, it says, I foresaw the Lord. This is spoken by David. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So King David was prophesying. He was speaking, but it was the Lord himself, the Son of God, who was in David's mouth, speaking these words, these prophetic words. And it was the Lord himself saying, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption, meaning his body would not be corrupted. It would not rot. That's how we can describe it, to rot, to be undone and become dust of the earth. That is what he meant by his body not being corrupted. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. This is why he resurrected with his body, because it was not allowed by God for him to be like any other human being, that after their death, they are buried and with time become dust. Verse 29, it reads, men and brethren, now this is the sermon that Peter gives to them on the day of Pentecost. All of the people that congregated that day, and he is teaching them the gospel, the beginning of the Lord's ways. And he is testifying and referencing the Old Testament, that everything had already been spoken by the prophets. And he says, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. This was prophesied, and this is also in Psalms. And this was fulfilled because the Lord was the king, but he was a spiritual king, not a physical king. And in verse 31, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades or in the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. So his body was not corrupted. It did not start to have a bad odor or any of that. This Jesus God has raised up. And this was in reference to that Jesus who was in the flesh that God had taken on to become an ordinary man, a human being. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So everything that you are seeing and hearing, you speak in tongues, you prophesy, all of this we receive from God because God gave it to our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave it to him humanly because God made himself man. He lived as a human being. So everything he gave him was everything that they were experiencing that day. And in verse, where are we, brothers and sisters? In verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, he prophesied. And he said, the Lord said to my Lord, meaning David, he had a vision. In that vision, he saw our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the Father. And he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. So he told him, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. His enemies, who were they? The Lord's enemies, who were the first? Well, the Jewish people, they were the first enemies. And then later, the other enemies were formed later on after his preaching. And even to this day, there are atheists, unbelievers. They say God does not exist. Well, all of that, they are enemies of God. And it says that these people one day will bow down and be humbled before the feet of the Lord, asking for clemency, I'm sure. And in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, and look at what happened after this, brothers and sisters, when he preaches to them and he brings up all of the prophecies from the Old Testament spoken by the prophet, for example, by also King David. He was a prophet as well. And so he teaches them and speaking to all of those who were there. Many of them were Jews and from other nations. And when they heard all of the things that Peter was saying in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise of the Holy Spirit. For those who don't believe, for those who say they are Christians and who say they read the Bible and that they belong to the Christian religion, but do not practice this. They do not practice this because they don't believe it, nor they seek it or ask of it from the Lord, because they do not want to be sincere with God, but they want to be materialistic. And everyone seeking their own things, and the materialism is present, and their hearts are far from God. So this is why God does not give his Holy Spirit. He gives his Holy Spirit to men and women who love God and who long with all of their heart to have God in their life, in their being, and that yearn to please God, yearn and long to learn more of God and his ways and to put his commandments to practice. They are the ones who are truly concerned about this and ask for it. And these are who the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And so Peter tells them, repent, repent. He tells the Jews of that time, you led the Lord to the cross of Calvary and you sacrificed him unjustly. You repent is what Peter says. And also be baptized, meaning it was a saying when he says, be baptized will each of you make that decision to be water baptized and then for God to forgive your sins, for God to forgive all of the sins that you committed throughout your entire life. And even to this day, if you want to repent and believe in the Lord, seek God, well then those sins, after you are water baptized, God then forgives those sins from your past. And you begin to be a new man or a new woman for God. And from there on out, God is the one who is in charge of leading your life. And he is the one who does not allow you to continue to sin. He cleanses you, transforms you. You begin to live an upright, holy life before the Lord. That is what he meant to say in verse number 38. And then it says, after you are baptized for the remission of sins, he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, there has to be a demonstration of it, proof. And there are religions, people who say they are Christians, they say, well, I have the Holy Spirit because the pastor of my church told me so. The pastor of my church told me, raise your hand and receive the Holy Spirit, and I have received it. Others say, well, in my church, the pastor, he blew on me, and I received the Holy Spirit. That is what people make up, and they deceive people with that. Because as human beings, it is difficult to receive spiritual things, the things from God, because we're human beings. But if we have a sincere, honest heart, and we love God, and we want the things of the Lord, we want to please him, well, then he gives us those things with such ease. He gives us the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts with such ease. Glory to the Lord. And it's not like how some say, well, in my church, they've gifted me with all of the spiritual gifts. They've even appointed me a prophet. And others say, well, I was appointed an apostle. They've given me that title. Well, these are men's titles, nothing more. An apostle from God, but knows nothing. They have nothing from God. And everything needs to be with demonstration of power. When you say that you will receive the power, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's because the Holy Spirit comes to us. We speak in other tongues. We have the spiritual gifts. When I lay hands on a person, God works miracles. Well, then you do have the spiritual gifts. God has given you the spiritual gifts. It's with demonstration of power. And so it says here in verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Observe, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for who? It is for your children. It is for you and your children and to all who are afar off on the other side of the world, as many as the Lord our God will call. The Lord calls us. The Lord invites us. And he gives us the spiritual gifts. Glory to God. So you don't need to go to just any other church so that you are endowed as an apostle or as a prophet, evangelist, if you are not proving that you have God. When you ask, well, where are the miracles? Okay, I want to see the first miracle God works through you being a prophet. You've been titled an apostle, an evangelist, but that is all a lie and deceit. It is God who gives the spiritual gifts, and when he gives it, it is evident glory to our God. And in verse number 40, and with many other words, the apostle testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation, meaning repent, believe in Jesus Christ. He is the way that leads to eternal life. 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. These were the first 3,000 believers in the church of God. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So they began to have a great celebration because they were happy. They were joyful of a new life that they had begun. Glory to the Lord. Verse number 43. Then fear came upon every soul after those days, after that occurrence, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And there it is. They were demonstrating that they had power. They were showing that they were apostles, that they had the Holy Spirit. It says, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And it says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. And how beautiful. There were people that were very wealthy, very rich in that time, and they would sell and give to the poor. Imagine that joy and happiness these people had of having experienced the presence of God in their lives, in their hearts. Glory to the Lord. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Glory to our God. How beautiful, brothers and sisters. I think we can imagine how all of those things happened back in that time and how the joy and the gladness that they felt and experienced. And we also see there was so much joy and enthusiasm that even the rich, they had their possessions and they would sell and they would share with others because the love of God began to enter every person's heart and their conscience. So God was working those wonders, and we have no reason to feel envious at any time or point, because today God, He has manifested Himself in our lives. God has manifested Himself. I can say, for now 60 years, God has manifested Himself in my life, in your life, because before that, I was not a part of any specific religion, and I speak of what I have experienced. But how many things did those who are no longer in existence but were around in that time preaching, who gave their heart to God so that the Holy Spirit could dwell in their hearts, and that this should continue until the opportunity arrived when God put me in that path and sent me to those people who had spiritual gifts, and God spoke to me through these people, and God gave me the command to continue on because He was going to form a very big church, is what the Lord told me. I'm going to form a very big church, a great congregation here and throughout all the world, is what the Lord said. And the Lord would tell me, and I'm going to support you, and I will give all of the things necessary. I will provide the money, and I will be supporting, and I will be converting people's hearts. That is what the Lord said. And I have seen this fulfilled in the lives of many. I have seen this, and this is why I believe in God. This is why I say God lives. And this is why I dare say that in whatever religion, anyone who says they read the Bible and they are Christian, if the Spirit of God does not manifest Himself, if the spiritual gifts are not in your life, then you are being deceived. And I do not want you to be deceived. If you want to follow the true way, then be sincere and ask God to show you the truth and to bring you out from where you are and to take you to the place where God manifests Himself, so that you may also have the joy and the happiness we have. The honor and the glory be for our God. I invite you to read the Bible. Read the Bible. Be sincere and love God. Love God with your whole heart, and you will see how God will never disappoint you. All right, the honor be for Him. The glory be to the Almighty. Let us pray. Blessed God Almighty, thank you, Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are our great God, righteous, merciful, kind. Thank you, God, because you live. You exist. I do not know, Lord, how people could dare deny your existence, how people could dare mock your name, your word, and dare to want to blot and erase from human beings' minds your existence or your name or that you exist. But Lord, we know that you are great. You are the owner of all creation. You are the owner of the universe, and you rule. And that you are tolerant and have much patience for the foolish. But we also know the day will come when that patience will run out, and then you will send punishment to those that are indifferent, who are self-indulgent and rebellious, unbelieving and hard of heart, who did not want to love you. And how sad for them, Lord, because this hurts our heart, and we would long for everyone to come to the knowledge of your truth and your word. But we continue here, Lord, in this fight with your help, with your support. Lord, support us all and help us so that we all may come to the understanding that our work is to evangelize and to speak to a soul about you, to lay on hands and to give to them what you have given us. This is our duty, Father, and help us so that we may win over many souls for the kingdom of heaven. The honor, the glory, the worship, and praise is all for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. And now I also ask, Lord, for your mercy, that you stretch out your hand upon the ill. All people, men, women, children, the elderly, those that are ill, who suffer of diverse diseases, may you heal them, may you deliver them, may you protect them. You listen to prayer, and you know, Lord, who is asking to be healed. Also, deliverance to rebuke witchcraft and sorcery and curses. All of those unclean spirits that possess many people, who keep them enslaved. Do not allow them to speak or think. Do not allow them to reason their thoughts. Lord, this is sad and painful when we see people in this state. Lord, your mercy, your love, your power, my Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, eternal God. The honor is for you. The glory is for you.
Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Que yo quiero servirte con amor. Pon aceite en mi lámpara, Señor. Señor Jesús, tú eres mi vida. Señor Jesús, tú eres amor, salvaste mi alma perdida, por eso te alabo con el corazón, salvaste mi alma perdida, por eso te alabo. Con el corazón, con el corazón.
Thanks be to our God. Many blessings for you all. A big hug, my brothers and sisters. And for all the children, God bless you. And to all of you here, thank you. God bless you.